This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
About to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Well, all of us were raised different ways, and we raise our kids differently. Many of us, you know, we think we are trying to raise our kids opposite of what our parents did, and we end up kind of doing very, very similar things because that's, you know, what we know. You know, like spooky face. My mom would give me the spookiest face when I would do something and she would be mad about it, or if I would bring up a subject that she didn't want to talk about. And that look, still, I mean, I pee in my pants every time I think of the look that my mom gives. And she could still give that look. And I mean, I developed that too with my kids. I have a look. And I didn't realize I have the look because I've tried not to have a mommy look. I remember when my kids first started, my older boy, when he was acting up, I tried to come up with a look. And my husband's like, what is that? I'm like, I'm trying to come up with a mommy look like I'm mad. And he's like, it looks ridiculous. It's not working. So I came up with a growl. So when my kid, because my kid wouldn't look at me that's the problem with the mommy look. You know, the kids don't pay attention to you. So they're sitting there messing around. So I would go, like that. And it worked. I didn't have to contort my face, give myself marionette lines or bird or crow lines or whatever that needs Botox. All I had to do when my kid would be acting up is, I can't do it. Hold on. And I growl, you know, like I'm Mama Tiger or Mama Lion. And it works. It really does. The only thing is my kids have ticked me off so much throughout the years that I do have a look, and my kids notice it before I'm even mad at them. And like, what? You don't have to be mad. I go, I'm not mad. They go, yeah, you gave me the look. So damn, I never wanted to have a look. Anyway, back to, in health news, okay? Many of us think that you should not let a baby cry, and some of us think you should let the baby cry. Well, we have some researchers who are weighing in. And researchers at Flinders University in Australia said if you let the babies cry it out or allow them to cry for an extended period of time, it will not lead to long-term emotional or behavioral harm. Yeah, I used to think that my kid was killing himself when he'd be sitting there screaming. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he'll implode. I need to do something, God forbid. Yeah. And no, I mean, kids cry. That's what they do. I mean, look at the grown-ups. I hear grown-ups, you know, kvetch and whine. And, you know, you're like, come on, man. Oh, that's the adult form of crying. Researchers use the method called graduated extinction, as well as bedtime fading, which involves pushing bedtime back in hopes the infant will fall asleep more quickly. They tried this on 43 babies 6 to 16 months old. They found that infants subjected to the sleep methods fell asleep more quickly compared with babies in the control group who slept according to their usual routine. They say it looks like you've got two effective treatments that don't necessarily lead to negative outcomes. According to the study, babies fell asleep 13 minutes faster with graduated extinction and 10 minutes faster with bedtime fading. Infants who fell asleep to graduated extinction woke up less during the night. So to determine whether the infant suffered long-term stress, they measured cortisol in their saliva samples. They did not find elevated levels of cortisol, which is a stress hormone, for graduated extinction. A year after the study period, researchers did not observe significant differences in parental attachment or behavioral problems of the infants. Because that's another thing. When you're a new parent, see, by the second or third kid, you're like, you know what? I don't care what they think of me. But with the first kid, you're like, oh, my gosh. You know, I need my baby to know that, you know, I'm there for them and I love them and I need to bond or whatever. My second kid, I threw him outside the front door and I let him scream all night long because I needed sleep. I had to go to work. Next morning, I'd bring him in. I mean, you know, that's what, that, okay, I'm joking, obviously. But, you know, I mean, that's how we did it, you know, with first versus other kids. So, but some of you guys are going to be, okay, graduated extinction. Okay, what the hell? You know, pushing bedtime back, letting them cry. You know what? You know, here's the thing. Okay. I always say, check on the baby. All right. One thing I learned from one of my, colleagues was sometimes your baby could be screaming because they have a hair around their toe that's asphyxiating. And it happened to us once. My kid was screaming and screaming. I go, you know what? Just for poops and giggles, I'm going to take off his socks and make sure there's not a hair around his toe. And there was. There was a hair around the kid's toe. So whenever I see screaming or yelling in a kid, your job at first is to go there and check on them. Okay? I mean, you got to be smart. Okay? Make sure, you know, all body parts are getting blood flow. You check capillary refill. I do that on my kids. You press your thumb against their toes or their fingers or their feet for a couple seconds, then withdraw it. And you count how long it takes for it to go from white to red again. Okay, you can do it on yourself. It's called capillary refill, right? You know, press your finger for a quick second and then count how long. And it's supposed to be less than 2 seconds of capillary refill. It's supposed to take less than 2 seconds. I prefer even 1 second for the blood to flow back to where it should. Okay, and you guys can do that. You can tap your fingers and do your capillary refill check. Very easy. And so you want to make sure the baby's fine. You want to make sure the baby's not in pain. And if the baby is consolable just because you're there, okay, make sure you do lovey-dovey and put them down. Now, remember, kids are very smart. They're very manipulative. They're going to cry. I want you to hold them. And they need to know that you're going to leave one day. You're going to have to go to work. You're going to have to go visit grandma or whatever. And so, you know, they're going to have to get used to it. And you could be like, I love you, baby, I love you, baby, bye, sing a song. See, what I used to do is I used to sing to them, and then I'll start to lower my voice and pretend like I left. You know? And all of a sudden, I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, mommy's here, and I'm gonna sing the song again. I am not gonna sing the song I sang my kids. I was like, I love my mommy, and bye, daddy. There's a lot of songs I sing, but I really don't want to sing one there. 1-877-DOCTOR, let's move on. Speak, speak, speak. All I do is speak. But you know what? I'm good at it. So request to have me, Dr. Dahlia, speak at your work, party, convention, or retreat is easy to do. Go to our website at drdahlia.com and follow the link. Whether you want it funny or serious, you decide how much sass you want. Whether we discuss women's health, men's health, employees' health, or tackling all of the world's problems, we got it handled. Again, go to drdahlia.com and make management happy.
What are you listening to? Have you tried the Dr. Dahlia 24/7 listen line? It's easy. Just punch in 605-477-3713. No apps, no data, no internet needed. And no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call now, 605-477-3713. Now you can listen to Dr. Dahlia when you want. Bookmark the Dr. Dahlia 24/7 listen line number today. 605-477-3713. Got it? Call 605-477-3713.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-900-0684.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-900-0684. That's 1-800-900-0684.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. And this could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. 1-877-DOCDOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Tom, who was working the dials, and a big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So this was interesting. Apparently a pediatric group is now recommending at least one full-time nurse per school. Now, call me naive, but I thought every school is supposed to have a nurse. And it wasn't until the last few years that I found out that the nurse may only be there a couple days a week, if that. Now, I mean, being a physician, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, well, somebody has to be there all the time. Somebody has to be around all the time. And I guess, no, that hasn't always been the case. Anyway, so according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, every school should have at least one full-time registered nurse. Okay, they have to have a lot more training than MAs and LPNs. They say school nursing is one of the most effective ways to keep children healthy and in school and to prevent chronic absenteeism, according to Dr. Brina Welch-Holmes, a lead author of the policy statement and chair of the AAP Council on School Health. But school district policies about nurses may lack uniformity, and such policies often need updating. In the past, the AAP supported having one school nurse for every 750 healthy students and one nurse for every 225 students who needed professional nursing assistance. But the ratios were not enough to meet the health needs of today's students. They say as student health needs become more complex, the school nursing role has been, and of course, sorry, I had an issue here with my computer, has been expanded to include additional responsibilities. They say school nurses now work with pediatricians. They help manage chronic conditions and develop individualized healthcare plans for each student. In addition, more children need help with medical management or have special needs. Some have conditions like asthma, diabetes, life-threatening allergies, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and seizures. Other duties a nurse might have include emergency preparedness and health education. Now, these poor nurses, I mean, each school you would think would have a team, and they don't. So when your child has asthma, or your child has risk for anaphylaxis, and they have to go to school with an EpiPen, or your kid has diabetes, or your kid has a bleeding disorder, I mean, you know, you contact the school nurse's office. I mean, just to keep an eye on one student is a full-time job. Imagine all the students. And now, this article is completely right. This is from UPI.com. We are now deputizing nurses to take the place of doctors for pediatric care for these kids when these parents are not taking the kids to the doctor. So you have these kids that may not be getting good dental health, may not be getting good checkups, etc., and the school nurse may be the only medical professional that these kids see. Now, schools are trying to change that by forcing vaccines, etc., you know, so kids have to, you know, go somewhere to get the vaccines. But there's a lot of places now that give vaccines without there being an actual doctor or medical provider looking at the patient. So the school nurse may be the only medical interaction that these kids get. I mean, look at what's on the shoulder of these registered nurses. And then many of you guys are like, okay, well, that's great. You know, there's a lot of nurses that could use jobs. No, there aren't. Okay, we have major shortages. All right, written today, there's an article saying California is falling significantly short of this new recommendation of pediatricians. 57% of California's public school districts with 1.2 million students do not employ nurses, according to research from Sacramento State University School of Nursing. They say a call for a nurse in every school this week, okay, was a policy statement by the Illinois-based American Academy of Pediatrics, and the group's new guideline replaces its previous one, which we just said recommends the school districts have one nurse for every 750 healthy students. The academy said the use of a numerical ratio was inadequate to fill the increasingly complex health needs of students. Okay, so here we have California going, okay, wait a second here. Okay, yeah, I mean... You know, this recommendation is valid. I mean, I think they're 1,000% correct. But, yeah, school districts that are not ready. And that's another thing, too. We need to be very, very careful coming out and making statements before we have a plan for the school districts, because now media highlights that we're not ready. They say even when measured against the old yardstick, they say California schools are woefully deficient. This is from CaliforniaHealthline.org. Statewide, there is one nurse for every 2,700 students, according to 2014 numbers from CRIS data. And in some regions, it's far worse than that, in Santa Cruz County, for example. California school nursing shortage is troublesome. And, you know, so they talk about the same thing that we just talked about, okay? And so what do we do? Well, I mean, people say, well, you can't pay doctors enough, you can't pay nurses enough. When you already have financially strapped, you know, school districts, how do you just add, a full-time nurse? I mean, I thought this was already in the budget. One of you had asked me about the history of school nurses. This was like a few years back. I think it happened back in 1902. All right, this is very interesting here, okay? They say the practice of school nursing began in the United States on October 1st, 1902, when a school nurse was hired to reduce absenteeism by intervening with students and families regarding healthcare needs related to communicable diseases. After 1 month of successful nursing interventions in the New York City schools, Lena Rogers, the very first school nurse, was able to provide leadership to implement evidence-based nursing care across the city. The school nurse's role has expanded greatly from its original focus, they say, and I guess 1902 was when it all started. They say 12 million immigrants arrived in the United States between 1870 and 1900. In the late 1880s, New York City was faced with an increasing immigrant population living in terrible conditions without the benefit of sanitation or the medical technology and pharmacology. They didn't have antibiotics back then, etc. Later, when immigration appeared to overwhelm the city, authorities believed public education and increased school attendance was a way to lift this population out of poverty and acculturate them to the current America lifestyles and values. This is from CDCNE.net. They say in 1897, New York City hired 150 physicians to inspect students for contagious disease. They spent 1 hour each day identifying the various cases of head lice, impetigo, which is a bacteria infection on the skin where you get yellow pus, and tuberculosis. And they sent children home with a note stipulating the pupil could not attend school. However, once home, the children continued to wander the streets and tenements, I guess. Their parents may not have received the note, or the parents might not have been able to read. And many times the parents could not afford medical care. So on any given day, thousands of children were missing school. So, Lena Rogers was the first school nurse, then came Lillian Wald. And Lillian Wald was a 25-year-old nurse who enrolled in the Women's Medical College, and she volunteered to teach a class on home health care for immigrant women at the Lewis Technical School on the Lower East Side. And one day she was approached by a young girl who kept repeating, "Mommy, baby, blood." She gathered some sheets from her bed-making lesson, and she followed the child to her home. And apparently there was a mom who had recently given birth and in need of health care. And the doctor tending to her left because she could not afford to pay him. That's the story. So, this was Wald's first experience with poverty. She said it was her baptism by fire, and she dedicated herself to bringing nursing care to the Manhattan's Lower East Side. And then she worked among the poor, and she pioneered public health nursing. And then in 1902, Wald pressured the school system to provide school nurses and succeeded in having Lena Rogers, a Henry Street nurse, hired as New York City's first public school nurse. The suggestion was made that a nurse should work with a physician under his orders, treat simple cases without needing to exclude a child from school, and making home visits to follow up and ensure compliance with the more serious cases. This was originally a 30-day experiment. And within the first month, Rogers treated 893 students, made 137 home visits, helped 25 children. I mean, that's more than most doctors do today. And the experiment was successful. By November 7, 1902, Lena Rogers was made the first school nurse hired by the New York City Board of Education. Then they hired a first fleet of 12 school nurses. Within 6 months, absenteeism fell by 90%. So they did work with physicians responding to referrals. They did make home visits, and they worked with charitable organizations. I mean, this is just fascinating. Then Miss Rogers wrote the first textbook for school nurses back in 1917, and by 1914, there were close to 400 nurses in the schools of New York City. Then Los Angeles hired its first school nurse in 1904, and then we started to see more and more of this by the 1920s. So, it's a fascinating history. I really love history, and I love, you know, talking about it. But, you know, they knew back then what we needed to do. And apparently school nurses were needed during the war of World War II, so they had health aides. But, I mean, they always had somebody in the schools. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
Speak, speak, speak. All I do is speak. But you know what? I'm good at it. So requests to have me, Dr. Dahlia, speak at your work, party, convention, or retreat is easy to do. Go to our website at drdahlia.com and follow the link. Whether you want it funny or serious, you decide how much sass you want. Whether we discuss women's health, men's health, employees' health, or tackling all of the world's problems, we got it handled. Again, go to drdahlia.com and make management happy.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Subject to lender approval. See website for details. Need cash fast? Just go to 45cash.com. If you need cash to get caught up on bills, fix your car, or for any reason at all, you can now get up to $5,000 cash with any type of credit and no paperwork to send in. That's right. Quick and confidential cash can be yours within hours. Bad credit? No problem. Just go to 45cash.com to get lender approval fast, and your quick and easy cash can be delivered directly to your bank account. Whether you need $500 or $5,000 advanced to you right now, simply go to 45cash.com. That's 45cash.com for your quick and easy cash now. 45cash.com is the fast and easy way to get cash as soon as today for your quick cash now to pay bills or just make that special purchase. Go to 45cash.com. That's 45cash.com. Need cash now? Go to 45cash.com. Again, 45cash.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. Well, remember when I talked to you guys about these antidepressants and how many people take Zoloft, Paxil, Luvox, Lexapro, Celexa, and they're given these medications, and they say, wait a second here, I don't have depression. I shouldn't be on a quote-unquote antidepressant. My doctor gave it to me for insomnia or anxiety or PMS or stomach issues. And remember I told you that I rarely wrote those medications for an actual depression patient. If somebody had clinical depression, I treated them completely differently. I treated them with Wellbutrin, therapy, cognitive therapy, behavioral therapy. I got a therapist involved. I got a psychiatrist involved. And I might add an SSRI on top of it. These selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And I told you guys many times, I would use these medications for a variety of other ailments. I even use it for somebody with recalcitrant blood pressure. He was on 4 blood pressure medications. And his blood pressure was spiking like crazy. So for poops and giggles, treated him for anxiety. I gave him some Zoloft. Blood pressure normalized. So I'm just as guilty. These medications I used for other medical applications because I felt depression needed to be treated differently. Well, a study has come out saying nearly half of quote-unquote antidepressants prescribed are to not treat depression but to treat something else. Well, duh. That's what I've been saying. Does nobody listen to me? Nobody listens to me. Makes no sense. In Quebec, Canada, new research has revealed that nearly half of antidepressant prescriptions were not for depression-related conditions, but for disorders like anxiety, insomnia, and panic attacks. Oh, Paxil works amazing for panic attacks. You think I want to be doling out Xanax and Valium? I was able to control people's panic attacks with SSRIs. You bet your butt. Anyway, they say the off-label prescribing is not illegal, but it's not exactly directly promoted by agencies such as the FDA. Because the term, quote-unquote, antidepressant is starting to fall into a misnomer, experts from McGill University in Montreal sought out to investigate how often, why, and for what indications antidepressants are being prescribed. The results were published in the journal JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association. They say, led by Professor Jenna Wong, the McGill researchers looked at a decade of medical records that included 102,000 antidepressant prescriptions written by 158 physicians. Doctors participating in the study documented drugs they prescribed, as well as the indication or reason for each. All antidepressants, including the monoamine oxidase inhibitors, were part of the study. Wong and her colleagues found that only 55% of the antidepressant prescriptions were actually given to patients to treat depression. The remaining percentages were given to treat other conditions, about 18.5% for anxiety disorders, 10% for insomnia, 6% for chronic pain, and 4% for panic disorders. And let me tell you right now, expect this number to rise, especially since we doctors are being yelled at to not prescribe controlled substances. Yeah, people are yelling to not prescribe controlled substances for pain and for anxiety. So what can we go to? We're going to be going to these medications. And I know there's good and bad. We'll talk about that. Researchers who determined that 30% of prescriptions fit the criteria for off-label use, specifically 2 out of 3 non-depression prescriptions, were given under an off-label purpose. So what off-label means is, okay, let's say a cholesterol medication like Lipitor. You use a cholesterol medication, Lipitor, to lower cholesterol. The label, okay, basically, if there was a label on it from the FDA, it's used for cholesterol. You deciding to use that to, let's say, lose weight. Because let's say you have a patient, okay, that wrongly claims that their Lipitor caused them to lose their appetite. So you go, you know what, Joe? I'm going to use this on Sally. Hey, Sally, there's a medication here that one of my patients says caused them for their appetite to go down. So I'm going to use that for you to see if it's for weight loss. That's an off-label use of Lipitor. Lipitor is supposed to be a cholesterol medication. Okay? Now, some of those are not that extremely drastic. Okay? Like Glucophage. Glucophage is a medication for diabetes. All right? We also use it in PCOS, people with a polycystic ovarian syndrome. Well, many people claim that Glucophage keeps their appetite down and they lose weight. So an off-label use I'm seeing is some people are using Glucophage for people that aren't diabetic, but who may tend to be diabetic, they aren't pre-diabetic yet, and help them lose weight. That's an off-label. So any of you guys taking Glucophage when you're really not diabetic, but you're using it to lose weight, could technically be an off-label use. Again, nothing illegal. It's not what the FDA intended that medication for. But remember, to get a label indication is very, very, very expensive. And many drugs remember, the company, the millions of dollars that have to go into making the drug, has to culminate with an FDA, with a climax. We've got a climax with FDA saying you could use this. This drug is intended for cholesterol or for diabetes or for depression. And to get to that stage where you get FDA approval, it takes years and years of work and years of spending money. That when you finally get that patent and you get that approval, okay, you only have X amount of time to sell that drug before it goes generic. Many companies are not going to stop and go, you want to know what? This medicine is also good for anxiety. Now, some companies may go, wait a second. We could increase our demographic or increase our consumer base if we get a second label use, or if we get, you know, so some companies may go through that investment, but a lot of other companies are like, no. It's good for depression. Many people are using the term depression for a variety of these symptoms. We're good. Now let's take that, okay, back a step. When I was going to school, I asked about the Marilyn Monroe mother breakdown. I remember seeing a movie years ago where Marilyn Monroe's mother had a breakdown. And I rose my hand in class going, so what's a nervous breakdown called? I don't see this in any of the medical books anymore or the DSM. What's a nervous breakdown? And the doctor said it's depression. We now call it depression. So somebody that can't handle work anymore, somebody that just has a fit, somebody that just can't take it anymore, just has to go away, somebody that may do something completely off skelter or whatever, was being lumped under the diagnosis of depression. And when I was taught in medical school, when I had a woman in front of me, or a man, who said, you know what, I'm just grumpy, I'm having trouble sleeping, I just hate my job, depression. Now, these medications, like Paxil, Zoloft, they were helping those people. And I'm like, but are you really depressed about your job? No, I'm just grumpy. I shout at my wife. I just snap at my kids. I'm snappy. What's that? And I go, well, maybe it's more of an anxiety than a depression. Now, mind you, to bill Medicare or to bill any of these insurance companies, you have to come up with a code. And so the code would still fall under the umbrella of depression or anxiety. But I'm like, you're just grumpy. And you're snappy, and I wonder if it's a serotonin deficiency. So a lot of these medications help raise serotonin, which I talked to you about. So we help them maintain their serotonin level with these medications, and all of a sudden they're not snapping anymore. They're loving their job. They're not, and so when you look at the progress we've made in terms of diagnosing, I mean, you have some people that are bipolar. And in some cases, if you're a true manic where you have these highs, these SSRIs can make you worse. But if you are moody and you go through mood swings, these medications may help. So the point I want to make is don't diagnose yourself. Get evaluated properly by a psychiatrist or a therapist or a family doctor or an internist. Get gynecologist, I don't care. Get evaluated properly. And even though they're going to be ripping on us using these medications off-label, okay, you don't have to have a label of depression if that's not you. 1-877-DOCTOR, don't go away.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Speak, speak, speak. All I do is speak. But you know what? I'm good at it. So request to have me, Dr. Dahlia, speak at your work, party, convention, or retreat is easy to do. Go to our website at drdahlia.com and follow the link. Whether you want it funny or serious, you decide how much sass you want. Whether we discuss women's health, men's health, employees' health, or tackling all of the world's problems, we got it handled. Again, go to drdahlia.com and make management happy.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook, Supernatural Silver.
When I was 15 and a half years of age, I had two large mercury fillings put into my teeth. I got very sick that day, and over time, the mercury exposure damaged my body. My shiny disposition turned to depression and low energy. Many years later, I understood what had happened, and in 1991, I replaced these mercury fillings with white composite. In 1997, I learned that the homeopathic mercury detox I did years earlier did not remove the mercury from my body. I began an effective means of removing mercury from my body. My digestion and elimination returned to normal, and I began to have my life back. From 1999 to 2005, I tested the level of mercury in my body, and each test showed my mercury burden was high. After 5 years on One World Way, I recently did another mercury test. The results showed my body is free of mercury and virtually all toxic metals. One World Way is very powerful for detoxification support. It has helped many, and it may help you. Call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. Well, this Fitbit lawsuit, this class action lawsuit against Fitbit might have grown some more teeth after the release of a new study being reported by CNBC, which claims the company's popular heart rate trackers are quote-unquote highly inaccurate. Researchers at the California State Polytechnic University, Pomona, tested the heart rates of 43 healthy adults with Fitbit's Pure Pulse heart rate monitors using the company's surge watches and charged heart rate bands on each wrist. Subjects were then hooked up to a bioharness device that produced an electrocardiogram to record the heart's rhythm against the data being produced by Fitbit devices. Subjects were then hooked up to a bioharness device, comparative results from rest and exercise, including jump rope, treadmills, outdoor jogging, star climbing, showed that the Fitbit devices miscalculated heart rates by up to 20 beats per minute on average during more intensive workouts. This could be very dangerous. The Pure Pulse trackers, they say, quote-unquote, do not accurately measure a user's heart rate, particularly used during moderate to high-intensity exercise, and cannot be used to provide a meaningful estimate of a user's heart rate. The study was commissioned by Leif Cabracer, the law firm behind the class action suit that is taking aim at three Fitbit models. They use the Pure Pulse heart monitor, including the Fitbit Blaze, Fitbit Charge, and Fitbit Search. The suit claims that devices do not accurately measure heart rate, and the study was included as part of an amended complaint filed last week. In a statement, Fitbit called the study biased and baseless. I mean, that's the hard part. When you have lawyers hire the company to, now you need the other side to hire another company. I mean, I don't understand. Science should be reproducible. Okay? I mean, they should be a very reproducible, but unfortunately, with a lot of studies, you can have a very filtered result, and I don't know. I don't know one way or another. I personally don't have a Fitbit. I have wanted to because there's something I'm doing that's wrong, okay? I mean, I'm exercising every day. I'm watching my carbs. I'm trying not to drink soda. I'm trying to avoid cookies. And I'm not as skinny as I used to be. So, I mean, I got to battle this estrogen drop and my hormone issues. And so I thought maybe I'd go to a Fitbit. But, again, I love the idea of a pedometer. You know, I love the idea of that. But I noticed a lot of my pedometers weren't accurate either. I would walk, I don't know how many thousands of steps, and it would calculate 550, and I'm like, really? My hips, you couldn't feel my hips move? And so, even though strides, your Fitbit should be a lot more accurate than that. These are computers, and I'm optimistic that these computers are going to get more and more accurate. But the problem we have is the over-reliance on computers. Let's say your doctor does not want your heart rate going above 180, okay? Let's just say they are like, okay, guys, don't go over this heart rate. And here you are on your Fitbit, and you find that you are 170. And you're like, you know what, I could work out 5 more minutes. And if it's off by 20, you could get a stroke. Now, I don't know how many cases are out there of strokes or heart disease. I mean, I'm trying to look that up. I don't know if there's, there's been studies of, okay, well, somebody had a Fitbit, they exercised too hard, and they had an MI. I mean, I don't know if we have any of that data. And, of course, that could possibly, you know, add fuel to this lawsuit. I need to look more at what's going on with the lawsuit. And sorry, my computer crashed, so I can't look that up. But I will. So, you know, if that is the case, then that's pretty dangerous. And then how do you trust it? And, I mean, you want to have a product that you trust. And listen, I see a lot of you guys with Fitbit, and I am very, very proud of the fact that we are becoming a healthier society. Okay, our obesity is starting to stave off. We're starting to avoid soda pop more. We're trying to avoid refined sugar. We're finding new and innovative ways to exercise. We're walking more. And I see you guys out there. I see you guys with your Fitbits. Bravo. Keep it up. I want to change the way the school districts do exercise. There's so much that we could do, and we're going in the right direction. And the Fitbit is a part of it. But if we are, you know, spending $150, $250 a pop, consumers want to know that this works, and we also want to know that there's not a safety issue. So Fitbit stock, I think, has been having some issues. I don't know where this is going to go with this lawsuit. My guess is Fitbit now has to go and try to defend itself and have proof that their products do work. And again, I mean, you know yourself. I mean, again, if you're using it more as a pedometer, if you're using it more to track your calories, etc., you're going to be fine. But if you are watching your target heart rate and you are working out to a target heart rate, then my suggestion is check your own pulse. And I taught you guys how to check your pulse if you don't have time to sit there for a minute, okay? What you do is you could count your pulse in 6 seconds. And you guys know how to find your pulse. You could do your carotid pulse by your neck. as your neck starts to go in. You know where you guys like to get hickeys? Go a little bit more anterior to that, and you can feel your pulse. You can also feel your pulse on your wrist. Go straight down from your thumb into that little crease before you get to the vessels. All right, there's this little area there that you could feel your pulse. Some of you guys could feel your pulse, your femoral pulse in your groin. I don't care where you feel your pulse. There's a dorsalis pedis pulse on your foot. But you could test your pulse in a variety of ways and count how many times it beats in 6 seconds. 1, Mississippi 2, Mississippi 3, Mississippi 4, Mississippi 5, Mississippi 6, Mississippi. And then multiply that by 10. So if you counted 10 beats in 6 seconds, multiply by 10, and yeah, that's 100. That means your heart is beating at about 100 beats a minute. All right, if it's beating faster than that. So, I mean, you know, you could very easily calculate your own pulse. I would suggest that. And if you don't think your Fitbit is right, go with your instinct and go with your own calculation. And you could use a stopwatch. Well, you know, what happened to the old stopwatches? You know, your iPhone has a stopwatch. So you could let it do the counting of 6 seconds or 10 seconds and you count your pulse. Okay? And relax when you do it. Okay? Do it resting. Don't do it while you're running. All right. Drinking alcohol. Drinking has, I guess, and drink spiking a problem. Okay, so we got a few issues. We have fraternities that apparently are immune to alcohol intervention. They say college students who join fraternities or sororities have statistically shown no sign of cutting down alcohol consumption despite interventions. And my husband was AE Pi. So he's legacy and he wants my son to be AE Pi. And I'm like, I remember AE Pi. And these guys, they drink. And they all do. And I'm worried about my baby because my baby got a liver and my baby got a, I was worried about my baby's liver. Don't want my baby drinking and doing anything stupid. But researchers at Brown University combed through data from 15 previous studies conducted between 1987 and 2015 and found that no significant difference exists between students subjected to interventions that provided moderation strategies, skill training, or goal setting, and those who did not. Big surprise. They say current intervention methods appear to have limited effectiveness on reducing alcohol consumption and alcohol-related problems. Stronger interventions may be needed. See, what did it for me is somebody died. You know, hearing somebody die on their own vomit, drown in their own vomit, that did it for me. Or hearing of a rape or et cetera, that did it for me. But these kids, they're not being taught about those things. And so, we may have to do like what they do in sex ed, where now they teach them safe sex. We may have to teach them safe drinking. But I mean, you know, having, you know, people that you know get killed in DUIs, and I mean, you think that would be enough for these students. On top of that, they say drink spiking is prevalent on U.S. college campuses and women are at greater risk than men. Women are also more likely than men to cite sexual assault as their motive for drink spiking. When someone secretly adds alcohol or drugs to another person's drink, men were more likely to say the motive was to have fun, according to the study of 6,000 students at 3 U.S. universities. This is alarmingly scary. They say these findings show it is more than simply an urban legend. No, drink spiking. I mean, guys, if you can't get sex willingly with consent, don't have the sex, okay? But, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, and women, too. I mean, this is ridiculous. Scary stuff. Don't go away. 1-877-DOCBELLY.
My name is Don Wiskin. In 1994, I lost my 62-year-old father to complications of bypass surgery. In 1977, my 44-year-old brother was found dead in his apartment. He suffered a heart attack. In January of 98, my mother had a stroke and passed away in her bed. 21 days later, my 53-year-old brother passed away on his arrival to the hospital. He waited too long. In June that same year, I almost joined them at 42. What did I do? I took a 7-herb formula I now call Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn, milk thistle, and valerian. Based on German studies of natural medicine, Extendivite is designed to clear blocked arteries, clean the toxins from your blood, and improve your immune system. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend. Dobite.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day. But growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Vaping enthusiasts, head to VaporPalace.com. Choose from over 150 flavors and a selection of exclusive private stock vapor liquid you won't find anywhere else. New flavors are added every month, and our customer service is unbeatable. VaporPalace.com offers 15% off all vapor liquid on Fridays, and get 10% off every order with coupon code VAPOR10 at checkout. Combine the codes on Fridays for 25% off. The ultimate destination for the vaping enthusiast, VaporPalace.com.